Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's a beautiful day out, isn't it? Just a beautiful day. I do have a couple things to say for announcements. The labels are on the info table for those who are not going to be going with us. Thankfully, Tammy got them ready for us, and we have a it makes it a lot easier, saves a lot of handwriting when you're at the feast sending cards to people, especially when we have probably 25, 28 people probably. So that's on there. Also, the services for trumpets will be at 10:30 and 2:30 in the afternoon. Well, I hope you all had a good week. Tell your dad, young lady, that I appreciate him giving me this opportunity when I thought I had a day off. Mr. Brewer came back. I was going to have the sermonette, and he came back from looking really good. And Ron says, well, you don't have to do the sermonette. And I said, oh, that's good. And then Friday he calls me, or texts me, I guess, about 10:30 or so. And I said, well, there went that easy weekend. But it's good to be here with you. I hope you're enjoying the beautiful weather. And getting chilly, it starts getting you thinking about what? Whoa, it's feast time. It's feast time. And that's always a good time for all of us. And thankful to our God, we understand that. And we know that we should be a part of His holy days. And it's just a wonderful time to be together. Because when we get started on this Feast of Trumpets, Christ has returned. And we who are there, what a blessing. We've ran the race. We've made the turn, and we made the right choices. So today I'd like to ask you, have any of you ever made a contract? I'm sure, raise your hands. Come on, surely everybody's had a contract of some sort, whether it be the credit card or a car or a home or, you know. Well, if you break a contract, how do they treat you if you break that contract? They usually don't treat you very nice, do they? They usually may give you half a decent try one time, and then they say, well, you know, you seem to have a bad habit. You don't like to pay bills. Or you don't like to fulfill your contract, whatever it may be. Well, you know, we are blessed. We made a contract with God. You and I, when we took baptism, had baptism, were put under every sin that we had was forgiven. It was a very serious thing that we thought about. It wasn't something you jump into lightly. Because when you did that, you also signed a lifetime contract. At that time, we promised that you and I would obey God, grow in His grace and knowledge and understanding, and apply it to our lives. How are we doing? How are we doing? Well, hopefully good. Hopefully we're growing each year and getting stronger and closer to God and growing in His grace and knowledge. Hopefully God is continuing to be what? He's honoring the contract if we repent. He will allow us to get back into our contract. Our contract of serving and doing Him and living His way of life. So He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. And we are blessed to know Him. I was thinking of a contract I had one time many years ago. I thought I'd tell you about it. It's a story. I was a young man, married, one child, I think. And you know how it is when you're starting out, you're sort of getting along, right? You're not absolutely on a lot of money. You don't usually have a lot of extra. And I had an opportunity to make some money fixing a chimney on a school down in Franklin, Ohio. And this friend of mine who was in the church, I said, well, I don't know how to do stuff like that. And he said, you can do it. I go, I don't know about that. I never put, chimney, Well, this chimney got hit by lightning. And this was probably in, probably midsummer, August, maybe in July. And they needed it fixed before school started because they were still using the old coal furnaces and stuff. So anyhow, I remember that I said, boy, I don't know. He said, yeah, you can do it. So I went down, I looked at it once, and did an estimate, and did it again, drove back down to look at the thing again, did it again. I wasn't scared, I was petrified. Because I couldn't afford to lose that amount of money. If something went wrong, if the liner was bad, and I didn't put in for it, So anyhow, I prayed a lot. Definitely, as whenever you have a trial or something confronting, it is so easy to pray. Isn't it just, oh God, help me, oh God, help me. Please show me. Don't let me make a mistake. You're making your argument. So anyhow, I finally put in a bid. And I added $500 to what I thought it should cost. Because I was so afraid that if I didn't do it right and if that liner was bad, I wouldn't have the money for it. Well, about a week later, the guy calls me. He said, we got an offer a lot cheaper than yours. I said, oh, okay. It was exactly $500 cheaper than mine. Exactly $500. And then you saw God intervene. But they can't get it done before school starts, so we're going to give the contract to you. We need to think quite often about these blessings that God has given us. Because it will keep us close to God and very humble and realize that we didn't do it. God heard our prayers. We come out to Him and ask. And that's what He says, seek and ask. If we don't ask, He knows what we need. But we need to make sure we're asking for help and guidance. And as He has opened our minds to His Feast of Trumpets, and all of God's feast, all of God's laws. And our contract includes all this. We said at baptism, we will obey your laws. We said at baptism, I will change and do your will. At baptism, we said, I agree to a lifelong term. And I know that you, the living God, will keep your term on this. Because your term for me is, if I fulfill my contract, I get to be in your kingdom. I get to be a part of your family. We have been blessed, each and every one of us, with God's Spirit. Today we got baptized. We've been blessed to be here today. This is God's Sabbath. This is His holy time. And we're invited here every week because He wants us as a family to be together and to hear His word and His understanding and His wisdom. If you would turn with me to Romans 8:23, if you would. I've got to get my glasses back on now. Romans 8:23 says, And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or sonship, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen and not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that's one of the hardest things you and I have, is to be patient sometimes. Everybody wants to get something done now. And we need to be patient because God is patient with us. Turn over to, go to verse 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. God is the firstfruit, and we're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Christ is the firstfruit. And we're to follow his example in everything we say and do. You know, it says not many called, but few are chosen. Back in Matthew, and we're the few that are chosen, Mark. And we have to realize what a blessing it is to know that God the Father has taken each and every one of us, and he has a place for us. He called us for a reason. We're not an accident. Just as when we took baptism, it wasn't an accident. We were told to study. We were told to prove. Because the contract is firm. The contract is firm. Our contract with him and what he says he will do for us. And what he has planned for us. In Romans 6:23 it says, the wages of sin is death. Every year, you and I do what? We keep the Passover. Because you see, as human beings, we all have sinned and have to have the Passover every year. And I've always been amazed when I look at it, Passover has always been first. Always been first. So when God set up the holy days and everything else, he knew that we were going to sin, right? Because he what? He witnessed it, Adam and Eve. And he knew that once they ate of the tree of good and evil, all mankind was going to sin. So he gave us what? His loving Son, Jesus Christ. That we who have sinned can be forgiven if we repent. Now as we go through our lives, and we see what God has done for us, and we are thanksgiving to him on everything. We are looking for his return. But as you know, you and I have to make choices every day. Sometimes many times a day. And the choices are two. You either obey God, or you obey Satan, or you go after mammon, which is money, which is physical things. We have to make that choice daily. And we have to learn to make the right choice all the time, or as much as possible, and ask God's mercy if we see we've done wrong. Matthew 6:24. If you turn there, please. Matthew 6:24, Christ says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Satan uses mammon and vanity of self on you and I. As he goes back in Ecclesiastes, says, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." And we have to fight that every day, because Satan knows everything about us. He knows our armor and how well we have it fit, how well we're taken care of. Are we fixing the holes or the cracks? We'll read about that in Ephesians 6:10-11 if you want to turn there. In Ephesians it says, in verse 6, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Realize our God controls everything. Our God can do anything. And some of us think maybe He has to be able to do anything because somehow He opened my mind to His truth, and maybe yours. The greatest day of our life. Did you ever fight it? I said, "Not now, God, not now. I don't want this now." But He wouldn't let me go. How about you? It just seemed like you couldn't stop. And the more you read, the more you knew you had to do it. And how glad you became. And then it became your life. And this is our life. And it's only going to get better. Because God has something planned for you and I. And as much as we try to think how much we know as human beings, we probably may be, as big as a little finger. Maybe. Close. And that'd be the little finger of the body that we become. And the rest of the body we don't understand. God is so far above us. And yet, you and I have been blessed with knowing that if we keep God's commandments, obey Him, serve Him, love Him, we are going to be blessed. And we are. Whenever we have a problem, all we have to do is go to God. Now, it may not come out the answer we want sometimes, or we may have to wait a while, sometimes quite a while. But other times it's immediate. Because you see, when people are anointed sometimes, people are healed sometimes right then and there. Right then and there. Sometimes it takes a little time. To our brethren who are out there who aren't able to attend, we hope and pray that God will allow you to get better and be back with us. Because you certainly are a part of the family. And we love you. And we want you to return and joyfully be with us on God's holy Sabbath day. And they would love to be here with us. That's why whenever we send cards to them from the church, they're so happy that we remember them, that we love them, and we care for them. If you make a little statement underneath the card, or if you put a little funny face with a smile on it, it means so much. Because if you're really sick, you don't have much contact with people. You have some. But everybody needs cheering up. And I know many of you do that. You call, you go see. But the pandemic had got kind of worse. You know, you couldn't go see people. I know I sure missed that. And you know, you just hate it. You can't have the personal contact. You need the personal contact. That's like with kids in school, with having to wear masks. They miss that personal contact, seeing the expression on people's faces. You know, you have a mask over your face, all you see is the eyes. You know, you can't tell when a person's talking to you if they're maybe mad at you, frowning at you, or if they're smiling at you and their eyes are going to sparkle more. We all need that from people. We all need it from each other. But if we sin, God has given us an opportunity so we can keep our contract. We need to repent. And the quicker we repent, of course, the easier it is. You do not have to suffer for what you've done, or not as long. The one thing that God tells us we need to do, or Christ told us, is in Matthew 6:33. It's one of the key things Christ said, because it was right after he'd been tempted by Satan. I've used it many times, and we use it in the church all the time. I don't have to turn to it, but we will. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So God's kingdom is what we need to be looking towards. That's when Jesus Christ comes back, and that's what trumpet represents. This is the feast day that Christ returns. Do you realize what that means to each of us if we're there? Or if we're raised up from the ground to meet him? We have finished a race that the apostle talked about when he said he'd finished a race. Because from that point on, you'll be changed from physical to spiritual. And you're going to be helping Christ and the army that he brings as all goes to the correction of this world that is such a sinful world. Now we need to be looking ahead. Because you see what happened this last couple of weeks in the United States. It's just about like Israel having to go into captivity. We're getting ready to go into it. We just don't know it yet. Because God's plan is going to be fulfilled. And we better be serious about what's going on. Not being distracted. Not letting mammon get in our way. Not letting the lust of the flesh, lust of the mind. We must not. We need to be loving and kind to each other, making sure that our hearts and mind are becoming pure through studying God's Word and practicing God's Word. Because the day is coming. The United States lost so much prestige this past week. Now, how can a country be overtaken by 100,000 people in 2 weeks? Only God let that happen. There is no way that big of a country that 100,000 people could take it over. And the United States, the so-called mighty nation they are, ran. Literally ran. They left that big compound they had with all this equipment. Almost $1 trillion worth. $1 trillion worth of equipment. And ran. That would be like the guy who was mighty and was a good fighter And all of a sudden, he became a chicken. Lost his nerve. Wouldn't use the power he had. Who can make someone do something like that? Just as God did with Moses and them. Think about it. They were running from this huge army. And they come after, and they went into the sea with water up above them, chasing God's people. If they'd have stopped and thought at all, do you think they would have ran into walls of water, say the high as this, if it's just as high as this building? Now think about that. They had never seen anybody go through water like that before. They'd never heard of it. Moses led them through. Why? Because God told him to. And he trusted God. And then that night, guess what? All this happens. The land dries. They go through on dry land. Now they knew why. I'm sure they were still amazed. I know I would be. I'm sorry, you know. I mean, something like that, you're going to be like, oh, you know, wow. And that's the God I serve. And yet, when Moses, the water came down and killed all the Egyptians. That's our God who is mighty. That's our God who loves you and me. Takes care of you and me. Wants to take care of you and me. Wants us to be a part of his family. Now and forever. He will keep his part of the contract. We are the ones who have to make sure that we keep our part of the contract. Because if we don't, we will not be the first fruits that God will have in his kingdom. This world is changing quickly. So quickly. You know, years ago, we've always had, what's the language I should use so I won't get in trouble? Gay people, how would we just put it that way? We've always had gay people since I was a kid. But they never flaunted it. They never flaunted it. We had a small coal mining town and we had some. But they never flaunted it. But everybody knew who they were. But they never showed it outside. Never showed it. Because even they knew it was a disgrace. But they did it anyhow. And who else does stuff and knows God's law and still did things wrong? Satan the devil. He was high up in God's command when you think about it. And yet he turned on the living God because, what? Ooh, vanity got to him. Because he thought he should take God's place because he could do that. And I'm beautiful. And I am so great. And I make wise decisions. And oh man, and God praises me. And you know. And look where it got him. He's a cast out. He's just like a crook. He just wants other people not to be happy too. He wants you and I not to be able to be in that divine, beautiful city, New Jerusalem. God wants you and me in the New Jerusalem. Christ went and said he had many mansions or places, basically, however you put it, for it. You know, and let's turn with it to John 14 just to read it. John 14, 1. And this is Christ speaking too. As you know, a lot of this is during the Passover time. We read these verses in John, different parts of them. It says, let your heart not be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled by what's going on. If we're with God, we don't have anything to fear. All we have to do is pray more, ask, and seek, and do His will. But it says in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwellings. It says in the middle of my Bible. If you were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. You were called. You were chosen. We have all been chosen. And we have a place in God's new Jerusalem ready for us. May even have our name on it. Only you and I can give it up. We don't want to give it up. We need to grow closer to God every day. Because as you see this world going apart, we have tornadoes, we have fires, we have hurricanes, we have rain that has been up in New York. There's absolutely, did you see that on TV where that rain was coming down into that subway? I mean, it looked like a waterfall. Can you imagine being down there and seeing that water come in like that? Because you certainly couldn't get out that way. So you're going to have to run somewhere else. All you and I have to do is praise our God, love our God, and repent if we do something wrong. That's our part of the contract. God will fulfill His part. Because God can do no wrong. God doesn't lie. And everything He tells us in His holy word is true. It's true that He loves you and me. And sometimes we may even wonder why. Maybe you haven't, but I have. I'm sure all of us had that feeling at some times when things going on. But never fear. God is always near. It's just a prayer, a thought, and being humble and serving God. We need to be prepared to get a hold of that place that God has for you and me in His kingdom. We need to keep that goal totally in front of us every day. And don't let any roadblocks, don't let any detours, don't let anything get in our way. It's our decision. God has given you and I the opportunity of what you call a lifetime, eternal lifetime. All we have to do is fulfill our contract. Let's be sure as we go to keep the Feast of Trumpets, which is the beginning of being with Christ and God the Father, going on down from the Feast of Trumpets. Can you imagine when you hear that sound come out? And you look up and you see Christ coming down with His army. And all of a sudden, you and I can be raised up to be a part of that army to correct the world. To really devastate it. Because God has come back to take the world that Satan has been allowed to have. And His time is near. And Satan is going to be out to get you and me. He knows it. He knows God's word. Just like when He tempted Christ back in Matthew 4. He quoted the verses, just didn't tell it all. And that's the way He works. And that's the way cheaters work. Liars work. And vanity can get all of us in trouble. Because Satan knows it. His vanity took him out of God's kingdom. His vanity took him out of God's kingdom. He went from being praised and doing wonderful things to being thrown in a pit once Christ returns. We do not want to take anything for granted. We want to, as we see this Feast of Trumpets, which is only a few days off. When we come before God on the Sabbath, we should be so happy. It's the best day of the week for us because it's God's day. We do what God says. We're obeying God. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to learn to know each other better, to love each other better, and to become a part of His family because He called us to be a part of that family. You know, one of these days, there are going to be two witnesses come and show the world the power that God has. And it'll hold them all at bay. But after that time, it will be a time that the world we'll see a lot of destruction, a lot of hurt. But the thing is, Christ will be close behind in God. You and I need to make sure that as we think about the Feast of Trumpets, can you imagine blowing the horns and the whole world hears it? The whole world. And they don't know what we know. But we're going to be a part of helping them to be a part of His family if they change, if they sign the contract. So as we go to the Feast of Trumpets, let's be sure to give God thanks. Thanks for allowing me to know Your truth. Thanks for being patient with me. Thanks for being merciful to me. Thankful for the many blessings I have. Help me not to take things for granted and to always give You glory and honor. Because that's where all glory and honor is. Because God is perfect. Christ is perfect. And He had His Son die for you and me and the whole world. But we have been called to be the first fruits. And we got to make sure that we are looking at what we're doing. Checking ourselves. Because you see, the world is going to roll over to something you will not believe before it's over. And guess what? If we are not close to God, we can still get caught up in Satan's scheme. Satan's contract, if you sign that one, is pure death. But He won't tell you that. But God's Word will tell you that. You will not have the opportunity to be a spirit being and be with Almighty God, His Son Jesus Christ, the 24 elders, and whoever else that we may not even know about at this time. As I told you before, had an older gentleman years ago. He's probably younger than me at this time, but that was about 50 years ago I saw him, and he was probably in his 60s. And like I said, the first Feast of Tabernacles I was at, I heard this guy that we used to sing the song, Count Your Blessings, one by one. And this guy isn't going on with what should be said. He's saying something different. And I'm about three seats down from him. He's in this big tent with 13,000 people. And I'm so excited to be there that, you know, it's just, I've never seen anything like this. This is the greatest thing. Man, these people, oh. And, you know, many of us who are older had that blessing and opportunity. We had a lot of trials at the feast at different times, but it always worked out. Things always became good. But anyhow, Mr. Clark was singing this song, and I finally, leaned over, and here's what he was singing. Count your blessings, ton by ton, and then one by one. You and I need to realize that is really a true statement. Because there's so much that you and I do not know, we can probably never count and give God thanks for every blessing, every protection, everything that's ever happened in life. You may have had a flat tire and thought it was a bad, and there could have been a wreck down the road and you could have been killed. And you say, boy, I had a flat tire, it was really bad, Just smile and say, it's okay, God's in charge. If I do what's right, He'll take care of it. I just learned that I got to be patient. And if we're patient, and if we grow in love, and the love of God, the love for each other, and we put on the whole armor of God, what we talked about, we will be, as it says in Romans 13:12, if you'll turn there. Let's go back to verse 10, maybe. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Excuse me. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now it is, high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That is what God has called you and I to be, is to be the light of the world of His way of life. In Matthew 5:14-16. We are to be the light to the world. And as we grow in His grace, His knowledge, His wisdom, and in obedience and fulfilling our contract, our light will be brighter. We will be a good example to each other. We'll be a good example to those who, the hall that we have. We've been blessed so far with this hall for 20 years. And they treat us very good. We are blessed that we have each other to count on if we need help. We need prayers. We are so blessed because you intervene to God for each and every one of us. Somebody's sick, like those at home. We pray for them. And we ask God to help them because they need help. We've all needed help at different times. So as we get ready to keep the Feast of Trumpets, let's realize that we're here, Feast of Trumpets, not because we are mighty, great, or wonderful. We're here because we signed a contract with the living God. He opened our minds and hearts to His truth, His way of life. And we are to fulfill that. And when we do, we will be in God's kingdom. We will be in that holy city. And in closing, we will be eating the fruit of the tree of life. Let's turn with Revelation 22, if you would. Adam and Eve took part and did the good and evil. You and I do not want to become part of that good and evil. We're living in it now. We can see the difference. One leads to happiness, the tree of life. The other leads to death. for most people. The only reason that we don't have that death penalty is because God has called you and I out of this world. He loves us. Christ has prepared a place for us. And all we have to do is fulfill our contract. In Revelation 22 it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street it, and either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." The healing of the nations. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." That's where we want to be. We want to be in that divine holy city, New Jerusalem. You want to be a part of eating of the tree of life. For God has blessed you and I with that opportunity. As we prepare for the Feast of Trumpets, let's rejoice. Be thankful. Make sure that we have an offering to our God, because on God's holy days there is to be an offering. And when you give it with a smile. Give it because you want to. Give it because God has blessed you. Count those blessings, ton by ton, and then one by one, and then give your offering to God.